Look at a couple of verses here for our next few minutes together. Could you find our text? It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and those two verses there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And if you're physically able, would you stand as I audibly read these verses in your hearing? And then we'll spend a few minutes trying to unpack them together. Second Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Amen. Lord, we bow together and we ask your help as we contemplate the truth of these verses together. Meet us now in the Spirit and lead us in all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you very much. So, we are continuing with this theme and this message, a new perspective. A new perspective. You might remember that the first time we got together this year, last week, we looked at verses 16 and 17, right? And in verses 16 and 17, we noticed that every believer has a new perspective on Christ. We saw that at the end of verse 16, where Paul said, even though I once regarded Christ according to the flesh, no longer, right? So every believer has a new perspective on Christ. You know that Christ is the Son of God, right? You know that he is the promised Messiah. You know, as we've just said, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. You know this. And not only that, you love him, right? Every Christian in this room, you wouldn't be a Christian if you didn't love Christ. And as Paul has already said, the love of Christ is what constrains you or controls you, and that's what guides you in life. So not only that, every believer also has a new perspective on life and people. Paul said he once regarded people according to the flesh. But now, you and I know every individual, regardless of their education, their age, their socioeconomic status, every individual is created in the image of God, yes? Genesis 1, God said, let us create man what? In our own image. Every individual is created in God's image and is important to him, so they should be important what? To us. Yes, a new perspective on life and people. Every believer also has a new perspective on believers. What Paul has said in verse 17 is that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? And so this perspective ought to guide us. Anyone in Christ is a part of God's new creation already. Anyone in Christ now has newness from within. We are a new creation. You can now, but think of it. You already have within you what's going to the new heaven and the new earth. It's already there. There's nothing else to be done on the inside. Now, there's plenty of work to be done outwardly, but on the inside, you have been made what? New. You are a new creation, and you can now participate in that which God is bringing to the newness of life, he calls it, right? You can now live in the newness of life. You can enjoy what it means to be in the kingdom of God right here, right now. You can have joy when nobody else understands why you have joy. You can have joy when you have no money. Joy with poor health. You can have peace when your whole life is falling apart. Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, all of this great a beautiful privilege that comes in the new creation. You're a part of it now, and you can enjoy it now. And we know that about every believer. And lastly, just as a point of review, you might remember I said that God's plan is for us to experience this newness of life. Yes, this newness of life. So today, and we won't be long today, I want us to look at these two verses and think about this. We are going to talk about the ministry of reconciliation and then the message, right? The ministry of reconciliation and then the message of reconciliation. So let's dive in. First of all, in verse 18, we see the ministry of reconciliation portrayed for us. Right away, then, the first question that I ask and the first answer that I see is the source. Where does it come from? You notice you got verse 18? All this is from God. So there is no, you don't have to speculate where this great blessing comes from. Now, by the way, the all this refers to what has come before and what comes after, right? Everything that I just talked to you about, being a new creation, you even having a desire to be saved, to be born again, all of that comes from God. No one ever saved themselves. There will be no one that can brag about their salvation before God, right? It all started, what? With him. He's the source. The plan of redemption came from God. Think of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were not trying to come up with a plan to be saved. They were hiding from God, right? They were trying to figure out a way to keep God off their back. It was God who came up with a way for them to be redeemed, to be saved. So he is the initiator. Yes, he's the creator. He's the motivator, and we thank him for that. Amen. Again, look at verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. The word reconcile, I spelled it out there for you. Katalasso. And what the word means is to exchange a hostile relationship or the relationship of an enemy with a friendly relationship, right? To exchange one with another, all right? And so when you and I became Christians, we exchanged the relationship of being an enemy of God to becoming a friend of God, right? We literally learned what it means to be right with God. That's what it means to become a Christian. Now, I don't think I'll get any debate in here. You know that God is perfectly holy. Amen? And sinners are perfectly unholy. God is perfectly holy. Sinners are enemies of God and hostile toward him. Mankind never, never, never came up with a plan of redemption. Couldn't do it. You remember back in Isaiah, even back in before Christ came, people were trying to find a way to please God. Even God's people had misunderstood ceremony. You do know that coming to church isn't going to satisfy God. Reading your Bible isn't going to satisfy God. Giving and all the kind of things that many people do in hopes that this will please God. You can't even begin to please God until you come to Christ, until you surrender to him. Amen? In Isaiah 64, I believe it was, that it was there that God says that your righteous deeds are like filthy what? Rags. Like polluted garments. I remember the etymology of the word, one theologian said it's like rags wrapped around a pulsy tumor. And that you remember, those of you who, this new generation don't know anything about that, but those of us who remember what it was like to grow up and have those bad sores and you wrap the rags around them and the pulse and stuff getting, you remember how those things used to stink and it was awful trying to address a wound, right? So God said, that's the way your deeds are to me. If you're not right with me. And worship doesn't please me apart from being right with me. Amen? And so
this marvelous plan. So this ministry, this plan and this ministry is from God and is designed to bring joy, purpose, hope, and fulfillment to those who will obey. The second thing about this ministry, I call it the nature. And listen to me. I want everyone in this room to understand that if you are a Christian, you are one of the most privileged people on the face of the earth. This ministry is a privilege. It's a privilege to have the ministry of reconciliation. Think of it. You have an opportunity to show a sinner how to be reconciled with God. You're the only one that knows. It's a privilege. You notice, look at the verse again. You got verse 18? All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You got it? Gave it to us. Who did he give it to? God has given this ministry only to those who have been redeemed, only to those who have believed. And he didn't look at your worldly qualifications to see if you qualify. If you have come to Christ, then you are the perfect candidate for this ministry. For all of those who've been wondering about your ministry, this ministry is for everyone. Yes? This ministry, he said, Paul said he gave it to us who? All that believe. Every Christian in this room has this ministry. You are privileged. You're privileged above your family members that don't know Jesus. Privileged among your co-workers, your boss and your boss's boss and the elite that don't know Jesus. You are privileged because you know how to get right with God. Yes? The ministry of reconciliation is one of the greatest blessings. We are a privileged people. If I can't convince you of anything else, I want to convince you of that today. Regardless of your age, your gender, any of those things, you are privileged if you're a Christian. Next, I want you to notice that every believer is privileged, just as I've already communicated to you. What does this ministry do? It shows sinners how to have a friendly or a right relationship with God. I want you to think about that. See, this ministry goes way beyond what we do here when we gather on Sunday. You take this ministry with you when you leave these doors. Amen? Most people think of ministry and what goes on here on Sundays and Wednesdays or whatever day to call church. Yeah. God wants this is a new perspective, yes? This is a new perspective. I want all of us to get this perspective. This ministry, is that me?
Okay. They probably ain't heard a thing I said. Okay, all right. All right. So, this ministry is for us to be fulfilled. Even if you didn't get the pay raise, even if they've been overlooking you on the job, even if you're not fulfilled at home, even if you're not making the grades you want, or if you didn't make the team or the class this or that, this ministry is to give you fulfillment in every aspect of life. You can serve God regardless of what's going on. When the bottom is falling out of your life, you still got this ministry.
Amen.
Have you ever noticed at times that particularly those of us who visit people medically, if you go to the hospital, you ever done that? Go to the hospital, you thought to comfort someone? You ever had that? And you leave there what?
Yeah.
Comforted and encourage yourself. Because that person carried out the ministry. Now, they weren't trying to lead you to Christ, but they realize that that ministry is given to all, regardless of the circumstance. Yeah? So this this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege. Amen. And then lastly, I want to look at the message. Again, it's the same thing. The message is from God too. Yes? God is the source of the ministry and the message. No human being would have ever come up with this message. Do you see that? What message do people come up with? Well, you go and you talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses, and you just go right down the list of all of the religions that have come up with a message for the way you please God. None of them is this gospel message, is it? You think man is going to come up with a message where somebody dies? Jesus said, man will hardly die for his friend. But God, I'm getting ahead of myself, God has gone so much further than that, didn't he? Hadn't he? The man isn't going to come up with that. A man is not going to come up with that kind of message. No. And so the message, the ministry, and the message is from God. And I want to tell you this. I thought about this last night. If God had not told us, we wouldn't know. You remember, again, you go back to the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve have sinned, and they're trying to hide from God. Who took the initiative? The Bible says God showed up in the cool of the day. It was God who was walking through the garden. It was God who called out what? Adam, where are you? Yes? And after they finally came forward, God began to tell them about the consequences of their sin. You remember what God said that as he told Satan? That I will put what? Enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will bruise or crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. We wouldn't have known that. Adam and Eve wouldn't have known that if God had not what? Told them. He gave the message of hope even after they had failed so miserably. God came right on the scene and said, I've got hope for you. And then he said, I want you to stop this shabby living, trying to hide your sin behind some leaves and, right? I want to show you the consequence of your sin. How did they come up with animal skins? Adam and Eve were the cause of the first animals dying. They were the cause of, God said, in the day that you what? Eat of the tree, you shall die. They did, and they caused what? Death happened, started from that point on. One had to die so that they would even be clothed. You see, they were clothed. The only way they could get clothed is that an animal had to die. We wouldn't have known that if God hadn't what? Told us. Y'all remember? We move way down into the generations. We find ourselves in the Gospel of Luke. You remember Jesus has been born? You remember what God did? He sent what? Angels to what? Some shepherds that were in the field. Didn't he? The angels came and said, good news. Good news, right? To you has been born, right? Good news. And then it says that this host of angels were there celebrating and rejoicing because he wanted to make sure these shepherds got to what? The message. Amen. We would not have known if God had not told us. And you remember right after Jesus was baptized, you remember that? I think Matthew 3 is one of the accounts. It says he came up from the water. They heard a voice from heaven saying what? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. They never would have known that if what? God hadn't told them. So you see what I'm saying here? God is the source. We wouldn't know truth if God hadn't taken the initiative to tell us. We'd be sitting here just as naive as the rest of humanity, trying to figure out our way through the dark, believing a lie. But God has said, no, I want you to know the truth. I wanted you to come out of darkness into the light. Where did it come from? It started with God. That's the reason we love him, Christian. That's the reason we love him. That's the reason we want other people to love him. And they can't love him unless we take the truth. It's got to be the right message. Don't try to sweeten it up. Don't try to butter it up. Don't try to fix it up. Just the message in and of itself is enough. You can't make it better. Amen? Don't try to make it better. Just present the truth. And the truth, those people that will know the truth will be what? Set free. Just like you were set free. Amen? I want you to get this now. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege. And so lastly, then we'll look at the content. We'll try to wrap up. So, again, you look at verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. So what's the content? The content is that God reconciled us to himself through Christ. You got your Bible? Look at verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. It's through Christ. None of this is possible unless you come through Christ. Don't try to play with your friends and try to weasel out to say, well, Jesus is one of the ways. We believe that Jesus is the way, but then there's other ways. Don't confuse your friends like that. Be willing to take the heat for the truth, right? There's one way. You can call me narrow-minded or whatever the name. We're going to be called those things, but make sure you tell the truth, right? It's only through Christ that we can be reconciled to God. Amen? Amen? Only. He is the only way. It's through his life, his death, and what? His resurrection. That's the gospel. The gospel. So, God reconciled us to himself through Christ. The next thing that's so wonderful is that it's available to anyone. Anyone. So your bullies at school or all those of us who have adults who have really, really difficult people to deal with, some of our family members that you, some of us have kind of given up on, I want you to know that God says that, no, there's hope. What, for who? Anyone. Anyone. Particularly if you think about yourself, how many people gave up on you? But God found you and saved you anyway. Aren't you thankful for that? I wasn't saved in a church. Nobody was looking for me. I wasn't even at home. I was up here in St. Louis. Running around in bands, chasing money and all other things. God found me at a rehearsal. I wasn't looking for God. But the truth will find you. Now, people had planted the truth in me, you see, long before that rehearsal. But God knows how to take that. So you plant, what, one plants? What? Another waters, but what? God brings the increase when he wants to. So keep planting the message and let God do with it as he wills. We good? Anyone, you see that in verse 19? That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Anyone can come. And that should be your message. Anyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That what? What's the next word? Whoever. Who are you, whoever? Then you can come. If you're among the whoever, you can come. That's the good news. Amen? Reconciling the world. Reconciling the world. The Holy One was offended. Now you think of this. The Holy One was rejected. The Holy One was mistrusted. The Holy One was unloved. And he's the one that has made a way for sinners to become his children. The Holy One who was the one who we caused this great grief to. He's the one that pursued us and made a way for us to be his children, right? He's made a way for us to be his sheep, made a way for us to be his soldiers, made a way for us to be citizens in his kingdom. He did it. That's the message. It's not what you do. It's what God has already done.
Amen.
That's the message. Stop trying and just believe. What Jesus said? Only what? Believe. Only believe. So God has done this. And I want you to notice this. God has restored the relationship between sinners and himself. God did it himself. He didn't need our help. Thank God for that. Can you imagine what the relationship would look like if we'd added something to it? You see, it takes a holy, perfect God to establish a relationship that cannot be broken, right? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall what? Be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate. Why? Because God is the one that established it. And I'm so thankful that I didn't have anything to do with it. Are you? Any human being would have devised a system that is flawed. God's system is perfect. Yes, he restored this relationship. And that's the reason you don't have to, people get all this concern about, can I lose my salvation? How are you going to lose your salvation? Can you be a child and an unchild? We need to trust God more. You see, the only way you're going to lose your salvation is you trust in you. Yes? How did Jesus say that? He said that we're in God's hand. No one can what? Snatch us out of God's hands. So you have to be mightier than God for a Christian to be lost.
Yeah.
Who is it who is mightier than him? We're safe, as a Pharisee said. We're safe in him. Until he brings you home. And all those concerns are what? Those are over. So God restored the relationship between sinners and himself. And my brother, my sister, this is the good news, right? This is the way to become a new creation, yes? This is the way. This is the way that the old is passed away and what? The new has come. I want to read. This is so wonderful. I'm about done. Turn to Romans 5. I want to read this so you can hear it. And we're going to try to wrap it up. Romans 5. Look at these two verses, verses 10 and 11. You ready? Romans 5, 10 and 11. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. That's wonderful there. But then there's one more verse. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. You can't get clearer than that, can you? You cannot get clearer than that. This is the good news. Now, Brother Willie, why are you carrying on so much? Because these verses teaches us that God has entrusted that to you and me. God didn't send the angels and say, angels, go tell the world this. Did he? Any of the celestial beings, he didn't do that. God didn't, devise a system whereby he directly would come and preach the gospel to people. Now you need to really hear me. He's saying to you and me, I have entrusted this to you. They won't hear if you don't take it. That's the reason he said to the disciples, what? Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. If you don't go, then they won't hear. But also, if you don't speak, they won't hear. Amen? And so this is the good news. But people will never know it if you keep it to yourself. You just want to stay safe. Don't want to make any rough waves. I mean, how many of us have been rejected by our family for trying to be bear the Christian witness? I can't tell you the things that have been said about me. And you're not boasting in it. We're just simply saying, if your desire is to be popular, then you joined the wrong group. Jesus says, if they hate you, you know that they what? They hated me first. Yes? So this is the good news, and I hope that you embrace it for the good of humanity. You know, I thought about this. People restore all sorts of things, don't they? They restore antique cars and antique furniture. People restore antique houses and I was trying to think about silverware and appliances. People restore all sorts of things. But the fact is that all these things will eventually fall apart again. All of these things will eventually just be destroyed. But when God restores you, you are restored forever. Amen. Isn't this good? Amen. The one who has eternal life doesn't have eternal life for a period of time. You see, how can you have eternal life and then it be shortcut? It can only be eternal life if it's what? Eternal, right? Why would God say, I'm keeping your reward for you in heaven if he doesn't do what? Keep you to get your reward. You get this? This is the good news. I mean, so people restore all sorts of things, but when God restores us to in Christ, we are restored forever. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So I simply want to conclude with these thoughts. I propose to you that we are the most privileged of all humanity. Christians are the most privileged of all humanity. We have been reconciled to God and have been given the distinct ministry of reconciliation. Yes? We are privileged to know the only way for sinners to have a restored relationship with God. For the way that sinners become a new creation, we're privileged to know the only way that sinners can be at peace with God and have genuine peace in their heart. I didn't mention a verse, I think, that I had on the board. You remember what Romans 5:1 says? Therefore, having been what? Justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Who is that? Everyone that comes to Christ. First of all, you got to get, people are seeking peace on the outside. You can't have peace on the outside. It's not going to do you any good unless you have peace on the inside. When you got peace on the inside, you can handle anything going on the outside. Amen. I can't tell you how many times people have called me indifferent because I'm not all panicky over something going on. When God gives you peace, God says, my peace I give you, the world can't mess with that. If you ever been around a Christian, I mean, and I'm not trying to impugn anybody, but if you've been around a Christian that loves Christ when they die, that is the most wonderful experience. They're not afraid of death. Amen. Why? They got what? Peace. They know, absent from the body, what? Present. I know where I'm going. Amen. And I'm like I was telling Perry earlier today, I'm like Paul. I understand when Paul talks about the struggle of staying here or going on. There are some weeks that you just wonder. The struggle, and I'm not trying to categorize any situation as bad or anything like that, but all of us have those challenging times when you realize that I know where I ain't trying to hurry God. I ain't trying to rush God. But Paul said, I'm what? I'm torn between what? Staying here and going on to be with the Lord. And when you get to be in our age group, you know that. That's the reality. In our age group, we've lived the majority of our life already. And in my particular case, I've lived a lot longer than many of my friends. When the Bible says that a man or a woman lived a good life, get to a good old age, I know people that have lived longer than me, but even if I die today, I have lived to a good old age for the way I've lived. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. God's been good to me. Amen. And so I know I'm privileged, and I hope you know, if you're a Christian, I hope you know you're privileged. Amen. We are a privileged people. We are a privileged people. And we need to live like that. Live like we're privileged. Privileged people don't complain about every little issue that comes along, a little incident, and you know what I'm saying. But we have to mature in this privilege to see that when God says to me, count it all joy when I encounter trials, that's what he means. It wasn't a suggestion. God really does expect for me as a Christian to learn how to count it joy when the most unexpected thing happened to me. I didn't say count it pleasant. He didn't say count it pleasant, did he? But joy is different than pleasant. Joy is different than comfort. Right? Yeah. You getting it? And so we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. We are privileged to have both this ministry and this message from God to anyone who will believe the truth and receive it. And if you are a Christian today, you have already believed the message. You can't be a Christian if you haven't believed the message. And if you're a Christian today, you have already received the ministry. I'm simply saying to you, embrace it. Embrace them just as you embrace the message, embrace the ministry and fulfill the ministry of reconciliation that God has given to you. Amen. And you should be ready to give yourself away in surrender to Christ. Give yourself away in service to Christ. What are you saving yourself for? I ask any Christian. What are you saving yourself for? What are you preserving yourself for? You don't know what tomorrow holds. Be faithful when? Today. Be faithful today. Be faithful today. This is your great delight and purpose in the newness of life. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, then you have not believed the message and you do not have this ministry. But that could change for you today. I want to say to you young people and adults, any adult here that's not saved, it doesn't take God long to save you. Don't believe these religions that make you think you have to go through this big process to be saved. God says that the only requirement for salvation is for you to believe in Christ. Believe him with all your heart. Yeah. Believe what we've just said. Believe that Christ is the one that has closed that gap between you and God. And when you are in Christ, then you are safe. You are joined to Christ and you are joined to God forever. You'll never, never be lost again. Anyone who believes in me, and the one who believes in me shall never die. Yes. And one who believes and dies, he shall live again. Amen? Amen. So I just implore you, come to Christ today. He will save you. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these few minutes that we had together. I ask you now to help us to embrace both the message and the ministry. Help us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and to follow you. Help us to see the great benefit and blessing in yielding to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we want to follow close after you. Would you come now? Meet us in this room. Work in every heart. Work in every situation. Make your will and your way plain. In Jesus' name, amen.